I had another message.
Happens every darn time.
So I was gonna start the teaching, ministering on the power and authority message that I talked to Ronnie about. But yesterday evening, it kind of got, nope, that ain't what I want. So, but this morning I want to paint a picture, starting off with to bring you into the message. And you know, we've all heard about the life of Jesus. We know about the life of Jesus. We've been taught about the life of Jesus. You know, as from a youth, well, before birth, he was, you know, he wasn't made of man. He was made by God. Because Mary was a virgin and nothing had happened and she conceived and was pregnant. So therefore, you know, it was a miracle. Bam.
Amen.
So, and then all through his youth, you know, he was found in temple when he was 8 years old, teaching and confounding the scholars and all, and the religious leaders. And then on through his life, you know, and no great miracles ever become or begin to happen until he come up out and was baptized by John in the river of Jordan. When he come up out of the river, the Spirit descended on him, the Holy Ghost filled him. And then at 33 years old, he began miracles. Or 30 years old, I'm sorry, 30 years old. He began miracles and he began his teaching and his ministry. And throughout, he never done anything wrong. He never done anything against the laws of man. Because God teaches in the Word to obey the laws of the land. Right or wrong, we are to submit. Because there's consequences. If you're running 80 miles an hour and the cop pulls you over, don't be mad at the cop. Right. You're the one that broke the law.
Yes.
Be thankful that we have law in our land, because a lawless land, we wouldn't make it.
That's right.
But, you know, if we break the law, there's consequences. But he never broke the law. They tried to accuse him by twisting the word, twisting the law. So, he was blameless in everything he done. They tried to blame him for healing on the Sabbath. But is it not better to heal on the Sabbath than to let this man go unhealed? You know, tried to blame him and his disciples for picking corn and eating in the fields on the Sabbath. Because, you know, they had these stupid little rules that, you know, the laws or whatever. But, you know, he always had a comeback. But they wasn't in the wrong. And the message that I've got is a harsh one. I mean, I don't mean that it's going to beat us over the head. But it's something that's going to hit home.
Okay.
Preach.
Come on.
And it's simply judge not. As Christians, as the world calls us, you know, or Jesus freaks or whatever you want to call us, as children of God and sons and daughters of God, as the heirs of the kingdom of God, however you want to say it, it's easy to go into a judgmental mode because I don't do this and they're doing that and they're going to go to hell or, you know, wait a minute. There's none of us perfect.
That's right.
I haven't got caught speeding, but I do speed. And when I get caught, I will not. I've talked myself out of a bunch of tickets over the years. Son, you know how fast you was going? Yes, sir. I was doing 65 and 55. Okay, just slow it down. They've heard all the excuses there is. God's heard all the excuses there is. But we're not to judge. God did not put us here to be a judge or jury or anything. Yeah. The only thing I can tell you in the Word is that we're fruit inspectors. He said, you'll know the tree by the fruit he bears. You'll know the person by what fruit comes out of them.
Yes.
Okay? So, I say we're fruit inspectors, but does that mean we need to cut down that tree because it's not bearing good fruit or the right fruit? No.
Good one.
No. That's not up to us. Just like he said, let it grow together in the fields, and at the end of time, it'll all be harvested together and it'll be separated. And what is good will be used and what is bad will be burnt. It's not up to us, okay?
Amen.
The scripture I want to start with, I've got several, but I don't know that I'll get to them all. and that's fine. But I do want to paint the picture that they tried to judge Jesus, and they did, and they crucified him. But he done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And how many times have we convicted people or we've judged people and basically crucified them because we don't know the whole circumstances, okay? Yeah. We only see this little bits and pieces of these people. You know, for instance, let's say you see somebody that you know that's a good Christian or whatever at a restaurant eating with another lady, a gentleman eating with another lady, and it's not his wife, but you know he's married. What's the first thing that goes through your mind? He's cheating on her. Mm-hmm. It might be business. I mean, we're not the judge. But we automatically go into judgmental mode because it's human nature, because it's been inbred in us throughout our whole life and throughout the generations. And it's wrong. And we need to get out of that. As Christians, we need to love and forgive and not judge. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we need to get that in our mind. And I'm guilty. I might as well be preaching right here, okay? or speaking right here, because it's me, too. I mean, I'm not above this because I do it. But the first scripture I'm going to use is Matthew 7 and 1. We're going to start with 1. Matthew 7, 1. And in this, like I said, this is, when I say a harsh message, it hits home. And I think it's going to hit every one of us. I hope it hits every one of us, because none of us is perfect, okay? But I don't mean it to stomp on nobody's toes or try to tear them down. I mean it to build them up so that you, if you never realize or never see that, you'll never change. That's in other words, you know, if you never know you're wrong, you won't never change because you're just going where you know.
Preach, yes.
But it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what? Now wait a minute. Now I want to get this second scripture in your head. For with what judgment you judge, and with what measure, I'm reading from the King James. That's just what I got, you know, and it's what I've been in. But I mean, ain't nothing wrong with any of the other versions. But with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. I want you to understand, this don't only apply to judging other people, but how many times have we judged ourselves and condemned ourselves and put ourselves down to the point it tears us down?
Yes.
Now, it's good to realize it and deal with it, but not to the point where... But when we begin to judge other people, then we should never judge other people. But when we do judge other people, we should stop and take a look inside to see what we've got. And that's what the next scripture goes on to say. And why behold the mote in your brother's eye and consider not the beam in your own eye? I mean, why are you looking at everybody else? You're not perfect. Mm-hmm. But it's easy to judge somebody else. It's easy to point out, hey, Ronnie, man, did you know that Ronnie back there, I seen him the other day and he... Okay, it takes the focus off of me and my problems and my sins and makes it look at somebody else. You mm-hmm. know, it's what you think you're doing.
Right.
You know, the bit dog always barks first, as the old saying goes, you know. Mm-hmm. So, it's something that we need to deal with. We've got to deal with as a body of Christ, because if you talk to anybody in the world that's not a Christian, what's their biggest reason for not going to church?
Hypocrites.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going over them blankety-blank hypocrites, because, you know, yep. I'm better than them, because at least I'm honest and I'm out front about what I do.
Come on, preach.
Yeah.
Whereas they're up there, oh, I'm holier than thou, but Saturday night they was out, and Friday night they was out, and the other day I seen them in a...
You're right. All right. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, seriously, how is the body of Christ going to win the world when they can't even take care of themselves? How can you go out there and expect somebody to have confidence in you and have faith in you when you're not showing them that you live that life, that you're a hypocrite, that they... Yeah, They can find faults in your life, but I deal with my faults. I'm an open book. I'll tell anybody. You want to know something? Ask me. Renata's like, you don't need to talk about that. You're too open. Some of that stuff. No. Because, you know, I don't want any skeletons in my closet that down the road is going to confront me. Mm-hmm. I don't hide anything. You know, I don't. I've been through a lot. I've done a lot. I've made a lot of wrong decisions. A few right, but a lot of wrong. But what I've done is learn. Come on in, brother. Sit down. What I've done is learn from my mistakes. I've learned. I've tried to learn. Now, I still, you know, I try not to go back and wallow in the same stuff. I try to. It's a different mistake, but, you know, I still make mistakes. But, you know, I try to be that person that if I'm going to represent this, it's going to be every day of my life. Mm-hmm. I won't be a hypocrite. I agree with them. I don't like hypocrites. But you know, my thing is, I would rather sit in church with a hypocrite than burn in hell with them.
That's
good.
I like that.
Yeah. Think about it. Now, would you not rather sit in church with a hypocrite than burn in hell with them?
No. Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
All right. And the next scripture there. Or why will thou say to thy brother, let me pull that out of your eye, and you don't mess with the problems in your own life? Why would you say, brother, you know, hey dude, I can help you with your problems, but yet you've got other problems. Might not be the same as his, okay? But you have other problems that you're not dealing with. Why would he expect you to be able to help him when you ain't helping yourself?
Come on, preacher.
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. And then even in the fifth verse there in the seventh chapter, it says, thou hypocrite. Now the Bible even said, Jesus, red letter says, thou hypocrite. First, cast the problems out of your own life, and then you can see clearly you will be anointed. You'll have the ability to help that other person because you gain their confidence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and in there it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And I looked it up in the New I forgot what it was, but it was like, why would you offer that as holy to somebody that's unholy? Why would you give a holy, you know, something holy to somebody that was unholy? Because they're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to take care of it. And I'm not talking about what we represent. I'm talking about, you know, okay, you know a person. I know people. I'll say this. I know people that drive junky cars. I'm talking about they don't never wash them. They trash just deep in the floorboards. They never clean them out. You know, nothing. And I ain't never really looked in your car. I'm not pointing fingers, but Renato's would be about, really wouldn't. But the outside would now. The inside, she keeps pretty clean. The outside, no, that's my job, she said. But why, if you know this person, and I know these people, that they get a new car, or nearly a new car, and in a month's time, it looks like it's been through a ringer. It needs to be in a junkyard. I mean, it's just, and why would you want to give them a better vehicle when they don't take care of what they got? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
good point.
If you're not faithful over the small things, yes. Why do you expect anything better?
That's right.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So that's where I got what I got from that. Don't, you know, give that which is holy unto the dogs. Don't. God wouldn't expect us to do it. And I've done it in the past, out of sympathy. And it's easy to work out of sympathy and not follow the Spirit, because that person, his car broke down, and now they ain't got a car to drive, and I've got an extra one in the yard, so I go and I sign the title, hand it to them, give them the car, and then 3 months down the road, that nice car that I spent a lot fixing up looks like crap.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't no better than the other one that broke down on them.
Mm-hmm.
How did I bless them? I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. It don't heal the problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
But that's not my place to judge. But I do know that's a fruit that you can inspect.
That's good.
So, but you know, I'm getting a little off course, but that's where he's leading me to. But But there again, in that, it's easy to go into a judgmental mode. I mean, really it is, because I think I'm better than them because I take better care of my vehicles. You know, I keep them clean. I fix them up. I wash them. I service them. I do all of these things. So I'm better than they are.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just more convicted because I know if I don't stay on top of that, I won't have one to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And my mentality thinks, if it breaks down, I'm just out of it. Because, you know, I guess maybe I don't trust God enough that He'll send somebody to give me one. But I don't think that way. I think it's in my ability to take care of these things because God's given me this natural talent or gift to fix stuff. So that's what I do, you know. So that's just the way I think, you know. And maybe it's wrong, maybe it's not, I don't know. But in this, we get into a judgmental mode and we get to the point where we want to be blessings to people, but yet we don't want I don't know how to say that without it going real offensive. So we want to bless people, but yet those people we think don't appreciate or don't deserve it, don't deserve it. You know, God spoke to me one time to give this gentleman a car. And I know God spoke to me on this, and because I try the spirits to see if they're God or not when it gets into something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried the spirit and it wouldn't go away and it just kept getting stronger and stronger. So I give this gentleman a car, but my thoughts was, God, he makes more money a year than I do. He's got better stuff than I've got. Why should I, how am I blessing him when he has better stuff than I make $30,000, he makes $90,000 a year. He said, that ain't your problem.
Mm.
But God, he's better off. I don't know if he makes his money honestly. I don't know. But God, I know it. That's not your problem. You do what I say.
Yes.
And this was years and years ago. Okay. So I give him the vehicle. And so anyway, it comes around to the point where I got slow on work. And for about 6 months, really, I didn't have a whole lot of money going in my checking account. But my checking account never got smaller. Every time I needed to pay a bill, the money was there. Whether it was, you know, light bill or gas or what, it was always there. No deposit showed, but it was there. God miraculously, just like with the loaves and fishes, He miraculously made it expand. I mean, there. And that goes to this here. This next scripture is in Luke 6, 37 and 38. And it says, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Now this part here is really crucial. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go with unforgiveness in your heart, you've got bitterness in your heart. And when you got bitterness in your heart, it's really easy to go into that judgmental mode.
Yes.
It really is, because you're not hearing from the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly
But the next one says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with what measure, with the measure that you meet or you give, it shall be given to you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but when we judge, it just tears everything down. I mean, it breaks the barrier between us and God. There's static, okay? Like in a radio, when you're going down the road and that dang thing starts fading out and you start getting static. There's a communication breach there.
Yes.
And that's kind of like it is when we have things in our life, odd in our life, or unforgiveness in our life, or these things. there's a communication breakdown between us and God.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we expect God to hear us clear, although we can't hear Him clear because we're out of range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd be with us to the end. God's always right there. Who walks away?
Us.
Who loses relationship?
Us.
That's right. I mean, so... And I can't stand the staticky radio. Oh, God, that drives me crazy. I'm gonna tell you. I just cannot stand the staticky radio. You know, be going down the road, and that thing just you know... And a lot of times she don't pay it attention. And I'm like, turn it or turn it off. You know, it just drives me crazy. It's one of my... And I think it's got to bother her a little bit now because she turns the radio station a lot more than she used to. But, you know, it's just something that bothers me, you know. And so we have to keep that communication. When we start getting staticky between us and God, we need to find out why.
Mm-hmm.
If we've judged somebody wrongly, or we judged anybody, period, whether it's wrongly or rightly, if we judge a person, then we're out of the will of God right there, because He said, judge not. In other words, it's not our place to be a judge. I mean, or a jury, or a convictor. That's all for Him to deal with. All we're to do is represent Him in the best way we can. We're to show... He said that He was the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that His light would shine through us. His image would shine through us as long as we kept that communication there. But when that communication bridge becomes... Then that light becomes dimmer and dimmer to the point where you might see a glow, but it don't help you see. It don't help the world a bit.
Oh, that's good.
Just like He said, why light a candle and put it under a bushel and slide under the bed? I mean, nobody can see it. What good is that candle to the world?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What good are we to the world if we are not the light of the world?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I've got some scriptures on over there that we're going to get to here in a minute. Let's go to, first, I want to tell you what the word judge means. I looked it up. An official authority to hear and declare cases. An official authority to hear, just like a judge on a stand. He has been put in that position. He has the power to say, you're guilty, 10 years of prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although you got a jury trying, you know, but a judge is the final deciding factor. So that judge is the official authority to hear and decide cases. Now, we're not that.
No.
Nowhere in the Word did He give us that power or authority. So let's remember that. Let's go to Galatians 6 and 1. Like I said, I've got a lot of scriptures, and I probably won't hit them all. Because I've got a lot. But I want us to realize, I'm trying to build up to this and get you to realize how we do this. And it says, brother, if you see a man overtaken in fault, and you which are spiritual are to restore such one in the meekness and consider thyself, lest thyself also be tempted. And then it goes to bear ye one another's burdens, and so you fulfill the law. It didn't say judge that person that's overtaken in that fault, just because you know, but you're to spiritually restore them through the meekness and consider thyself. In other words, don't consider thyself better than him because he's overtaken and I'm not, but consider yourself saying, you know, that could be me.
Mm-hmm.
Lest thou also be tempted. Now, in times past, I've judged people. One of the gifts that God gave me years and years ago, back in the early 80s, was gift of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
to the point I could look at a person and read them. I mean, I could pretty much, Renee will tell you, I could pretty much tell you their thoughts, not so much their thoughts, but where they've been, what they're doing, you know, the direction they're going. I could see things. And the burdenous part of that is when you see somebody and that's, you see things in a person and they're not willing to deal with them and you can't help them. That hurts. That really tears you apart. Mm-hmm. So I quit using that. I put it back. I blocked it out because I didn't want to see that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't, because it hurts. And that's wrong in me. I shouldn't have done it. But at the time, and here's the thing. I got out of the will of God when I went through my divorce. And things changed in my life. And I could still had the gift of discernment, just like I did before. And I hated that. I hated that. Because I didn't want, it ain't that I didn't want anything to do with God, but I wasn't wanting to work in the ministry. I wasn't wanting to do anything. I needed, just, you know, I really didn't need, but I thought I needed to forget about that for a while. So that's when I began to put that in, and I muffled it down, and I'm repenting for that today, because I can still, to a little bit, but it ain't like it used to be, and it's really bad. But it says, it's I know a guy who for years and years, he's a good singer and good player and everything. That's all he ever wanted to do is sing and play, but God didn't call him to do that. He was called and anointed to teach, but he didn't want to do that. So he tried to please God and himself by singing and playing and still working in the ministry that way. But he never really blessed nobody over all the years. Him and my mom sung together, and my dad played guitar, and he played guitar, and they sung together and everything. But he never really blessed nobody because he wasn't anointed, because this is what he wanted to do, not what he was called and anointed to do.
That's good.
It's not our choice. It's not our choice what we do in the kingdom of God. God has anointed each one of us. I can't sing. I couldn't. I used to like to try, you know, but it got to where the bucket wouldn't even hold the tune. I tried to throw it, so heck with it. I throwed it down just so. I used to love to try to play, you know, and, you know, that's not where God called me to be. But I tried that too, you know, and it was good for a season to help my mom, you know, play with my mom when she sang and stuff. But that ain't where God was leading me, but that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I was so jealous. And then here comes Austin along. 9-year-old, 10-year-old, play a piano, you know, first lesson, two or three lessons. And then she takes him to the, he wants to learn to play a guitar, takes him to get lessons. The first time he comes home, he's playing, I'm like, and I've struggled for years, you know. But I'm not jealous over me. I am thankful. I cry every time I hear the boys playing the same. I mean, I do. The man, he's 21, he's not a boy anymore. But yes, it's anointed talent that he is following. He's not trying to pursue his anointing or his talent in something else. He's accepted it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've got to do. But it's easy to see somebody playing and singing the anointing, and you're like, oh God, I wish I could do that. Oh God, I wish I could do that. Mm-hmm. But then, that's not where I'm supposed to be, you know? And she's probably got people she's envious of what they can do in their life, you know?
Right.
So that's, you know, accept ourselves, accept our anointings, and go that way. The third verse in that chapter there was, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Basically what I was saying. I wanted this, that ain't where God anointed me. I was thinking this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. God, no. I was nothing. I wasn't really beneficial to the kingdom. But let every man prove his own works, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. In other words, you shall carry your own anointing. You shall carry your own gift. There's burdens to go along with it. There's blessings to go along with it.
Yes.
So We have to learn that. And what I'm trying to get to, let's go to, I'm going to skip about four verses here, if that's all right. What I'm trying to get to in judgment, being judgmental and being considered a hypocrite and being all that stuff, it all comes down to what we say and what we do. It comes down to Proverbs 18 and 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. Do you realize that you can speak blessings and curses out of your same mouth?
That's right.
You can bless this person because he's helping and he's being good to you. That person over there that's really made you mad and ticked you off,
come on,
you can curse him.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. I can. I can, okay? Because I have and I do. Because it's easy to go into that judgmental mode. It's easy to forget or put aside, not really forget, but we put aside when somebody bumps us on the racetrack and knocks us up in the wall. Yeah. We want revenge.
Yes.
If I'm still able, I'm going to spin him out.
Yes.
You know, watch NASCAR. Watch NASCAR and see when they get to bumping and grinding. If he gets back up on him, he's going to do it. He might be penalized, but he's going to do it.
Yes.
They don't let it go. They let it become. And then after the race a few weeks ago, they ended up in a fight in the pits.
That's
because
right.
of it, you know. So, you know, it ain't worth it. But we bless people. We are good to them. But let them cross us and see where we go.
Oh, my.
You know, now I'll tell you this much. I'm pretty good up to the point of when you got start messing with my wife or my dad or my, you know, my three older kids, you know, they can defend themselves. Austin can too, but they deserve a lot of what they get because of the lifestyle they've chose. But Austin don't. And I'll fight, and I'll even fight for my older kids. You know, I'll defend them if they are in the right. But I'll tell you, somebody asked me the other day about how Dwayne was, and I said, well, the boy will lie to you every breath. You can't believe nothing he says. This is my 28-year-old son. I call it like it is. If it's black, I call it black. Mm-hmm. I don't lie. I don't sugarcoat it. It is what it is. He'll lie to you every breath. Well, how's CJ doing? I said, he's sitting in jail, messed up on meth and hanging with the wrong crowd. He chose it. They didn't make him, but he's sitting in jail. He deserves what he gets. I'm not one to go pay his bail. I'm not one to go get him out. I ain't going to do it. He deserves what he gets. Mm-hmm. Because just as soon as he gets out, he's going right back to the same crowd. They're like, wow, you're harsh. No, I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love him, and I'll be there for him if he ever decides. But, you know, I'm not going to support a habit. I'm not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But Proverbs there says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Matthew 12:37. See if I can get over there now. Says, and y'all don't have to follow me if you don't want, but because I'm going to try to go through these a little quicker now. Matthew 12:37 says, 37. For by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
Mm. Wow.
You go into a judgmental mode, you might as well expect to be judged.
Mm.
No way around it. By your word, by the power of the tongue. You know, I'm going to jump over here right quick. I can't remember what this scripture is. It's eluding me for a moment. I got it wrote down and tagged, so I'm going to check it. Okay. James 3:1-10 talks about the power, about the tongue a lot.
Yep.
It says, you know, brother, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive a greater condemnation. In other words, if you bless and curse out of the same mouth, you know, you're a hypocrite and you're bringing condemnation upon yourself. You know, and it goes on down, talks about how you put a bit in a horse's mouth and you can make it go where you want it to. It might not want to go there,
mm-hmm.
but you pull that rein to the left, that horse is going to the left. Although he wants to go to the right, he's going to the left, no matter what. talks about how great is a big ship, but yet with a small helm, with a small rudder, you can steer that thing to where you want it to go. You know, and it goes on down. The verse I want to use there is 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similarities of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and curses. And it says, this ought not be so. You know, in nature, you don't see a water fountain producing lemonade and water at the same time. You know, it's just good and bad water, or, you know, lemonade's bitter or tangy. I mean, it don't do it. It produces what it's supposed to produce. We can't tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, once we're born again, once we become that new creature, once we lay those old things down, and we become that new creature, therefore, all things are made new, and the old things are passed away. Therefore, that tongue should begin to come into subjection to your mind, because your mind controls this tongue.
Yes.
You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Put crap in, crap's coming out.
That's right.
Put good in, good's coming out.
That's good, yes.
But come on. You know, I want to, in my last script, Genesis 1 through, starting in the first verse, where God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke. God's word spoke, and the earth was formed. God spoke, and day and night was separated. God spoke. God said. You say, well, we're not God. No, but that same Spirit that God spoke through, the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
God didn't do the work. God spoke it. The Holy Ghost went and done it. That same Holy Ghost lives in us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we speak, we're speaking as we were speaking for God. Because we're His divine creation. And all things He created, the cows, the birds, the fish, everything He created, everything He made, we're the only ones He took enough love and pride in to reach down with His hands
That's right.
And mold. And then He said, come alive? No. He even took it man up. That's how much more special we are than every creation there is that we see. But I want you to understand the powers of our words. The power that we have, the ability that we have when we speak. I want you to understand that people are watching us. And what we say on the job does matter. What we say in a restaurant does matter.
Great.
What we say in our car going down the road by ourselves matters.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, nobody heard.
Well, wait. Mm.
I can tell you 4 that heard it. I can tell you that God heard it. I can tell you that Jesus heard it. I can tell you the Holy Ghost heard it. I can tell you the devil heard it. Now, who's going to use it against you? Who does it hurt?
Me.
And God. Because we're representing Him. We are to be careful of what we say and we do. We're not judged. Just because we think we know what's going on in that person's life, we don't know crap. Okay? Because until you live with somebody, you don't know somebody. Until you close the doors and y'all live together for a while, you know, that celebrity wife swap. These people think, oh yeah, they catch. I mean, literally, because, you know, you take a person out of their element. We get in an element, okay? And we don't know what somebody else goes through just because we think we know them. They're good friends. Bless God, they're... Because we don't know what eats them inside. Because people don't open up unless you're married to them, unless you're living with them, unless you're part of them. Mm-hmm. And then, it's really easy, and I'm really bad about this, it's really easy to say things that hurts the other one and makes them cry. And I'm bad about that. And then I'm like, that hurt. I shouldn't have done that with that leg. I had a shot in that knee yesterday. So. But, you know, kicking myself in the tail because you know what? I did it before I thought. And that's where we need to stop and think before we speak. Mm-hmm. And think, consider everybody around us. Whether it's just me and her in a room or in a car going down the road or whether we're sitting in a restaurant, you know, and I make a smart remark about somebody over there or a snide remark or I really don't like them because of maybe they didn't hear it, but these people right here behind
That's
me did.
Right.
And how do I know this ain't their brother or their mm-hmm. cousin and all this stuff? Or it might be somebody that knows me and says, well, I thought he was a better man than that. I didn't think he was like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is a hypocrite. We need to realize that we have the power of life and death. We have blessings and curses in our mouth, yes. in our tongue.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And in that, when we speak, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. You think, well, it's just a word. It ain't. It's life or death. It ain't just a word. It's life or death. We need to get that in our head. It's life or death. Because in we speak that. We either speak blessings or cursing, or we either speak life or death. It's not idle talk. You say, well, we're just talking. No, it means something to somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's not representing God. It's not representing the kingdom. So we need to come to the realization that we are not judges. And when we begin to judge people, when we begin to think this about so-and-so, I don't care if you know it about so-and-so. It's not your place to judge them.
Come on.
It's your place to love them.
Yes.
And it's your place to forgive them.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't care. It's your place to love and forgive. Because the Bible says if you don't forgive them, neither can you be forgiven.
Amen.
If you don't love your brother or a person that you're around, how you expect to love God who you've never been around?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. So let's get it in our head and in our heart that we represent the Almighty God and that what comes out of our mouth does matter.
Yes.
And that we are not judges. Now, I'll tell you this. If I was coming to this ministry here and I didn't agree with the fruits that I seen, then God gave me the ability not to come back here because, you know, I don't agree with that. Or, you know, I've been to churches before where they went through this stuff, you know. I've been to them where they didn't pull out the snakes, but they had the snakes in the box back there. You know, and I'm kind of like looking for the back door, and that's why I always sit in the back because I want a way out because you never know. But, you know, it don't matter what people say about us, it don't make us. It's what we say that makes us.
Ooh. Yes, amen. It's good.
Is that not right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Just because somebody says, I'm a sorry, no good, nothing, piece of crap, whatever, you know, that don't make me that. Mm-hmm. But if I decide to take that to heart and begin to, then it starts making me that.
That's a word. That's a good word. Mm-hmm.
So let's remember that just because they say it about us don't mean it's so. And just because we say it about them, don't make it so.
Yes.
But we need to realize that. Today I want us to all stand up. And I want us to examine our hearts today and our minds. I know that I'm not perfect by no means and never claim to be. I'm not even a good person. They tell me at work, you're a good man. You're good. I tell them, don't start any rumors on me. You know, don't start any rumors. Let my life be what it is, but you know, I don't want somebody else thinking something about me because they said it's what I'm saying. Don't start any rumors on me. But today, let's search your hearts and let's search your minds and let's search our lives and see if there's a place there where we've done this and ask God to forgive us so that we can move on.
Yes.
Because until this is cleared up in our life, we can't advance, we can't be forgiven, we can't move on. Let's take a moment and do that.